Welcome to episode 233 of the PS4 Plogcast. I'm JCM. With us this week is Izzy.
Did you just call it a Plogcast?
Yeah, I kind of did. I muffled it because I was looking at the numbers like, don't mess up the number. And then I kind of flubbed over the title, calling it Plogcast.
Plogcast.
I'm plugging the podcast.
Plogcast.
I mean, that's what I heard. I was just making sure that I wasn't like losing it.
No, you're losing it. Indoor garden products making you hear things.
Apparently.
And we got a Miss Zaya.
Hello.
And here we are. It'll probably be a short week because not a lot after the big week that was the Game Awards and PSX from last time. So there's not a whole lot to really touch up on. I know that as far as new releases, I'm trying to think of what was new. I don't think there was anything. If there was, it was a bunch of small stuff. Because I thought Lara Croft Go came out this week, but it actually came out last week. Because I keep thinking that was called Tomb Raider. I was like, I don't see it on the new releases. And then I was looking for it, and I saw on Twitter, someone's like, just platinum the game. I was like, God damn it, because I forgot there was a bonus level on the mobile version, so I just beat that the other day, and I was like, okay, now I want to go back and play it on a PS4 and get the extra bonus levels on there and get the platinum, because Lara Croft Go is really fun. I really like the puzzles. And you get a lot of that, like, eureka moments when you solve something. Even though majority of them, I felt like there's only one puzzle I remember that gave me trouble for a good while. I had to like put it down after an hour, and I was like, oh yeah, I gotta put this away. But for the most part, you can solve it pretty quick. But there was that, and I don't know what else there was. I know that coming up will be the 1 week early DLC for Battlefield, the Giant Shadow, I believe it's called. Introduces a new map and a new weapon, experimental crossbow that shoots a grenade, and it's like not even like a it's not even a grenade bolt. It's just like they took a crossbow in World War One and just took a grenade, flattened the bottom of it, put it on it, and just shot it. And you see the guy, like, it's for anti-tank, so I'm assuming they're impact grenades. So the guy like shoots it, but the grenade goes, but there's no spiral, it's not an arrow, so it's just it goes and then it starts to wobble like someone who threw a football, but they didn't put any spin on it. It looks really funny. God. It's like, I'm sure that the range on that healing is going to be like super inaccurate, but at least it'd be kind of nice to have more of a direct shot of something, maybe get a better arch or something like that. But seems interesting. But yeah, I don't know what else was new, so I guess we'll just jump into the news. PS4 officially hit 50 million units sold, so that's good. It's on the way. I'm curious how much it'll... It hasn't been official by NPD, but Sony said that the PS4 was the best-selling console in November, which is, I can see, being totally possible because of the Slim and because of the Pro, both coming out that month. But we'll have to wait for NPD to see what they say there, because Xbox had been taking it up for the past 4 months, I believe, possibly five, but that was when they released the S, and then when they announced the Pro at the same time, essentially. So you kind of got that thing of, oh... You had the people who already own the PS4s going, okay, I'm going to buy an Xbox now. And the people who maybe were waiting to get a PS4 are like, okay, now I'll just wait a little longer. And then so you get a sales dump and a sales climb, which would be expected. I mean, usually once you have a huge install base, you're going to be interested in the other thing. Like, okay, I got my console. I've had it for a while. Let's buy the other one and play the back catalog, because you get a big giant back catalog. It's like at the end of the life cycle for PS3, and people are like, hey, I just got a PS3, what should I get? It's like, you have like 6 years of games.
Everything.
Yeah, it's that's the worst part about the PS4 subreddit right now. It's like there's like always a thread that's like, should I get the Slim or the Pro? It's like, if you have the money, obviously get the Pro. There's no downside to get the Pro if you have the money for it. It's the same as the launch one, and you don't lose the optical port. So it's like, just get the Pro. This should be no debate. Just do it. And then if you're interested in the 4K TVs, you can get them down the line. You know, it's like you'll get added benefits as developers put them in there for certain games. But it's like,
yeah, it's got a longer life cycle.
It's just it's an obvious fucking choice. Like, I'm hungry, but should I get the? Well, if you're medium pizza and large pizza is a bad analogy, because I just get the large anyways. Just make sure I have more. But it's just, I don't know. It's like, you get something that's better. Should I get the shitty one or the great one? Not that the PS4 Slim is shitty, but it's just, come on, man. And then...
If it's like, even, like, a debate, you might as well get the better one, because it's going to have a longer, like, relativity, I guess.
Right. Yeah, it's like, just just get that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, just it's super noisy. It's like, please see this thread. But yeah, it's sometimes you get those dumb people. It's like, just come on, man. Stupid people. But we also got some more news about Last of Us Part 2. That Bruce Straley, who was the game director of Last of Us, will not be returning to direct Last of Us Part 2. Now, he was the game director, the gameplay director. Neil Druckmann was the cinematic director, the story director. But Bruce recently decided to take his year-long sabbatical after finishing the game, so he's doing that, which I could not imagine not working for a year. Like, I feel like I would just go crazy. Like, I can't even, I don't even like being out for like a week. I'm like, it just feels weird not, like I'm wasting my day, I'm not doing anything productive. Like, I like to at least do something, but he's doing
It's probably
that.
A little different when you've been pulling like 40-hour work days, you know, that kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, because they just
finished. When you've been in crunch time in video game land.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, yeah, Bruce recently decided to take some much-deserved time off after shipping two critically acclaimed games in the last few years. Mm-hmm. He's looking forward to returning to the studio soon and jumping back into on his next project. So, who knows if he'll be gone for the entire year, but it is possible that by the time he comes back, he could always come back while it's still in development and then direct stuff. It's not like he's just going to go straight onto something else. And like I said, you still have Neil directing the story stuff. And you figure as long as the gameplay is super similar to the first one, and maybe with some added tweaks, you know, whatever they think they could make that would still fit within the universe of the game, they just do that. So you figure it shouldn't be too bad. I don't see it being like a huge loss, but it is interesting. We also got word that Neil Druckmann has a co-writer who is Haley Gross. She wrote two episodes of Westworld. The episodes in question were The Adversary and Trump Lowell. I don't know how to pronounce it. But they were great episodes, and it's a great show. But so she's on there writing them, so that's super interesting. So I'll be curious to see how that goes. Turns out that Ellie's just a host. It's all Last of Us is all a big theme park. But yeah, so that's really cool. Haley's my kick-ass co-writer. Can't wait to share more of the story with y'all. Spoiler alert, it's intense, Druckmann wrote in response to a tweet. Let's see. But yeah, so that's interesting. As far as other news, there wasn't much else. Everything else is like, it's all because it's the holiday. A lot of game sites are doing their holiday breaks right now. Mm-hmm. So typically the stuff, it's just rehashing old articles like, hey, did you miss the trailer from PSX? Here it is. Or, hey, find all the most powerful upgradable weapons in FF15. Or, here's 15 things Last Guardian doesn't tell you, or here's where all the barrels are. Like, it's all just wiki stuff. There's no real
news. As you're going through IGN right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it. I'm like, this is all, it's just rehashed, you know, not a whole lot.
They're pushing their wikis out so that when people kick the games for Christmas or whatever, they're...
Right.
IGN had a wiki for this. I should look at it.
Yeah. The one thing they did, the one bit of news was that the Watch Dogs 2 DLC release date got delayed a week because they were spending so much time trying to fix the network issues for the game, so it got pushed. It will now launch on the 22nd instead of the 13th, so not too far off. But there's that. Man, I saw this really funny video on, it was on Twitter, and then I forget who retweeted it. I think it was someone, I wasn't following the person who did it, and then Daniel Dwyer retweeted, I believe, or quoted it or something. But it was a video in Watch Dogs where a guy was hacking another player, and he was using a scissor lift, and he had the scissor lift extended all the way up, and he was driving it into the circle to where, you know, where you have to be when you're hacking someone's data. And the guy who was hacking had no idea he was there. It's like, do you not see the giant scissor lift that's fully extended in the middle of the fucking road that's like following you around as the circle gets smaller and smaller? It was so ridiculous. And I was really hoping, like, at the end, the guy parks next to him and starts lowering the scissor lift, but by the time he got down, the guy's avatar like disappeared, so I don't know if he necessarily would have seen it. Like, just a quick second, like, here's the person who did it. Because I think in that game, when someone takes your stuff, at least in Watch Dogs 1, if I remember correctly, when someone hacks your data, once they get it, I believe it highlights and shows you where they were.
It shows you, like, what NPC they were or whatever.
Or, like, it just shows you, like, where they were hiding, because the area can get pretty small. And if you level up your skills, you can make that area even smaller. So be like, where the fuck was he? And then, like, it'll show, like, a highlighted outline, like, they were hiding behind the dumpster. And, like, you know, that'll work.
Okay.
One of my favorite tactics, at least in the first one, was instead of hiding in or up on something, is I just hide behind something, and then as they run around, I just do circles around the object I'm hiding behind, and they wouldn't find me, or they'd get me right at the end, and I just have to run away. But hey, I look forward to getting in the game and hacking, getting in there, but I'll wait till I finish Dishonored and probably do the, I still have to do the Tomb Raider DLC and finish the Dark Souls DLC, but I was hoping my cousin was going to get the Dark Souls DLC so we could play it, but he's not going to do it, so I'll just play it offline, so don't have to worry about invasions.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, when I logged in the other day, it's just, you're invaded. No, I didn't want it. Damn it. I don't want this right now. I'm not in the mood. I just want to relax. But relax with Dark Souls.
Dark Souls is the wrong game to relax with.
Yeah, but I can relax in the game, because that game's just like, it's just relaxing. You know, that snowy setting, and I know what to do, and it's not like, got to get all crazy. Until I get to a boss, and I got to be like, okay, let's focus a bit. But, yes, there's that. And other than that, not much else in the way of news. I think there was an interview with about Death Stranding with IGN sat down, talked to Kojima, Guerrilla, and Mark Cerny to talk about the Decima engine. I didn't watch that, though. But yeah, that was basically it for the news. Not much else. I know Doom's getting an update. It's a free update to bring in bots and new multiplayer modes. I like that to bring the bots in, because bots are a feature I miss in video games. Where it's like, because that was the thing I loved about Time Splitters. It's like, oh, I want to play Time Splitters, but no one's available. So I'll just load up a match, put all the bots on hard, and run around and play. And I always thought that was really fun. So to be able to play Doom multiplayer with bots or to fill it in. I always wish they would do that in games. I feel like there was a game a while back where if a player got disconnected, they were replaced with a bot, but people can come back in and take over that bot, and then when you died, if the other character was a bot, you can control that bot and take over it. But I forget what game this was, and I played it. I have to game that lets you take control of the bots when you die. CSGO. Okay.
Really?
Yeah, it was Counter-Strike GO. Okay, that's what it was. So, because CSGO is 5-on-5. So, when you load multiplayer, someone quits, they just give you a bot. That way, it's not totally imbalanced. But then, when you die, you can take over a bot. It was a really cool feature. I thought it was great. I kind of wish that games like, I guess I don't think they could do it, but like if Rainbow Six Siege would do that, where like if someone disconnects, if it just had a bot take over it, because that's a game where like you lose someone in Siege and then someone doesn't join your team, it's like that's losing one person can be a huge handicap.
Yeah.
Especially when it's like, you know, it's when that one character you needed, it's like if we had this one character in their gadget, it would have helped out a ton. Or you could just, you know, play it safe, and it's possible you could sweep the other team if they play recklessly because they think they're going to own you or something. But that's a game that definitely it's like, oh, we need another person. But yeah, that'd be nice. But yeah, CSGO does that. I knew it was something. I was like, I played it. I know I played it. I wish they had Go on PS4. I'd play it a bit. I wouldn't play it a lot, but that's definitely a game because it was only like $15 on PS3, and that's a game I can hop in like play a couple rounds of, get all nostalgia for Dust 2. But other than that, that's basically it for the news. Not a whole lot else. I don't think there'll be much until, you know, come next year, because we're gonna we assume when's TGS. What's so funny? Easy down with your garden. Your indoor garden product.
My dad is like in the next room watching the Grand Tour.
Oh. What's so funny? Grand Tour
Texas.
It's so good. I gave him my friend's PS4 so that he could watch it with our Amazon account. Because she's out of town and not using it. So.
Man, that trusting friend. I'd never let someone borrow a console. I'd be like, what? Unless it's like my PS2 I don't use anymore. I'd be like, or when I had multiple PS2s. So yeah, that's it for the news. Like I said, it won't probably pick up until the new year or some leaks or something. I like that I saw the thing how when they had, what would they call it? Was it evacuation day or infection day for Last of Us a couple months back, and they released that limited time poster.
Mm.
And how that poster was an early hint at The Last of Us Part 2 because it's got basically the tattoo design over the arm, but it's like actual butterfly and then the leaf thing. So it's like they were teasing it, hinting at it then. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, that'll do it, I suppose, for the big bits of news. So we can just go ahead and jump into what we're playing. You finished Final Fantasy 15, and they did just say, oh, that's, I guess, a bit of news to talk about, that they're going to be patching Chapter 13.
Mm-hmm.
From what I know, is a really annoying, way too long maze section.
It's just too long, and it's too long for a weird reason. So I see why, but it kind of also added to, like, the coolness of that chapter. So I don't necessarily see the need to patch it, but I understand why people want it patched.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I liked it. I thought it was neat. It was scary.
Could they have it be... like fewer enemies, maybe, to make it shorter? I mean, from my understanding, and spoilers you don't want to hear about this section, I mean, I don't know why it'd be a spoiler, but is that it's the one character, and you can't use any of your abilities and stuff like that for whatever reason, so some story element, and then mm-hmm. You're basically playing hide and seek, like a stealth section.
Yes.
Now, couldn't they just, in theory, remove a couple of the creatures you're hiding from? Like, wouldn't that make it quicker in theory?
What I think they're going to do is they're either going to boost the power of the item you do get, because you're not totally defenseless, you do have an item that you can fight with,
right?
But it,
you're more incentivized to not fight.
Yeah, it has stipulations and stuff. So what I think they're going to do is they're either going to boost the item's power, because I was ludicrously over leveled when I did it, and even I would take a few times using the item to kill certain enemies, and or they're just going to lower the HP of the enemies. But there are some enemies you're not supposed to permanently kill, so they will just keep coming back, so I don't think they're going to change that or their HP or anything like that. But just like the basic encounter mobs, I think they're going to adjust those. Which kind of sucks, because the whole point of the chapter is to be like, it literally plays kind of like a horror game where you're supposed to feel defenseless and you're supposed to feel scared, and if you played at 2 a.m. you will be scared because it's fucked up. But I don't know, whatever. I didn't have a problem with it, but again, I was very overleveled, so I can see that if you are at or below the level of the quest that you're supposed to do it at, I could see where it might be a problem.
Could they just make it scale to where, I'm assuming, is it an instance kind of thing? Or at least, I mean, I'm assuming if even it's not, they could just instant in a way, it's like, okay, if you're here, the enemies or whatever are at this level below your current level, to where no matter what level you are, it's the same experience.
In theory, I think they could do that, but I think the point of them updating it is to make it easier and quicker. It did, from the second that you lose your stuff and you have to use the specific item to fight, to the point where I finished the chapter, it did take a long time.
Yeah.
But I was also playing it at 2 a.m., and so I was scared, and I didn't want to go around corners, and things were popping up and grabbing me. I was like, I don't want to do it anymore! And so I did it the next morning, and it still took, you know, an hour or two to get through it. But if you're just kind of, like, playing through it normally, like you would any normal chapter, it's not that much longer than any other, like, sequence of the game. The story, anyway.
Yeah. Well, this is it. I know they're also patching, they're rebalancing some magics, and they're also adding some more cutscenes to clarify some motivations of a certain character, but it's going to take a while to do because they have to do all the localization by getting the voice actor and all that stuff, which is really weird. I mean, I guess, like I said, we talked about it in text, but how we always think, you know, if you watch a movie or I guess any form of media that can't be patched, where it's like, oh, I like this, but I wish there was, or even in a movie, it's like, we like this movie, but our issue with the movie was we didn't know enough about this character's motivation. I mean, if you look at it, it's kind of like the, I guess you can call it the Marvel villain problem, where the villains are kind of bland. So if you had like a bland villain in a game, not that it's a villain that they're patching, I have no idea who it is, but it's just a person to me. But it's like, if they could go back, patch it, and rewrite a character, or add more to give you more background on that, and to kind of flesh them out, it's kind of seems like what they're doing for one character, which is, it's super interesting, but it's also because it's like, I guess, like sets a precedent, I suppose, because I don't know any other time that this has been done. I mean, usually you get more backstory to a character via expansions or DLC. It's never, we're going to patch the main game and include new footage to help you. It's like a live patch of a director's cut into the game, which is super interesting to me.
Yeah, and I'm curious how they're going to add it in, and if it's going to be something that, if you've already completed the game, if you can go back and see somewhere, or if it's just something that will like play when you start the game after you patch it, or like if they're going to add in the New Game Plus thing at the same time that they add that stuff in.
I'd imagine they want to add the New Game Plus at the same time, get it all one big patch.
Yeah.
But
which would be great, because I really fucking want to play this game again. It was so good.
Yeah. Don't know how far my cousin is in it, but he's been playing that. I don't know as much as he wanted to, but yeah. I look forward to playing it when I get to it. Probably be sometime next year at this point. But yeah, it should be fun. I'm curious when that patch will come out, because at this point, like I said, I might as well just wait for the patch.
Yeah, and it's... They didn't give a time frame, so I'm guessing that they don't even have a specific time frame in mind yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just gave, like, short-term goals and mid-term and long-term goal, but no, like, dates or time frames or quarters or anything like that.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a bummer, but oh well.
What have you been playing? See, I know you finished... Did you finish Dishonored? I know you're playing it right now.
I did. So I beat it with my hard, no power, no kill stealth run.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm going through just tearing shit up on Emily.
Yeah, that's
destroying everything.
That's what I was going to do. I was like, well, I could just do it where I go through Emily with no kills, no not getting spotted. Then if I went through his Corvo, I could do him with no powers and just murder everyone.
So having played it both ways so far, I have to admit, playing it the first time, feels like a completely different game, and then playing it, killing people and using powers, it honestly feels like two different games.
I'd imagine. Yeah, definitely playing it. Like, every time I was traversing that game or trying to go, there was like a spot where I have to go back and forth past certain spots. It's like, man, not having powers in this section, I could see this being like, oh, I would go this route, but they would take much longer and have to be more careful. I'd use much more of my ammo than I do, because obviously with Emily you get like the chain link thing where I link up like four people and then I just knock one out and the other guys go out, but which isn't such a great power. The range on it is really disappointing, because like you have to be pretty close relative to the NPCs in order to cast it on the first guy, and then you can cast it, if there's two people next to you, you can cast it on both of them, they link up and they can walk pretty far away from each other, well out of range of your ability to actually select them, and then it still works. It's just when you knock the one out, it takes time for the little energy ball to travel across the little tether beam to the other person to give them the same effect. What was really funny is it also does it for missed shots, in a sense that I highlighted two guys, I linked them up, these two NPCs, and I shot at one, but I didn't see they had a helmet on, because the stupid it glows over their head when you do it to show that you've linked to them. So I didn't see he had a helmet, so I shot the sleeping dart at him. It hits the helmet, then the little orb for reaction goes to the other character, and then it simulates an arrow hitting her helmet. And she's like, huh, what? And I was like, God damn it. I was like, you're like double laughing at me about my mistake. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. There are powers I don't use. Okay, Izzy forgot to have me tell the story. I'll tell it before he gets back into his thing. But so I'm in the Clockwork Mansion, and I'm trying to get out. At one point, I'm taking, so spoilers for a game that's been out for a while. Relative, I guess. and I'm trying to take Sokolov out of the mansion. And then I'm like up on, I'm at the main exit room, the main lobby. And there's three Clockwork soldiers and an NPC that got pulled into the room from a hallway in below the stairs. So I'm like, okay, I got Sokolov, and I'm up on these side catwalks, essentially, with him. And I'm hidden there. I'm like, okay, I got to somehow get down. There's, but the way the patrolling doesn't really work. So I'm like, okay, I was like, how am I going to do this? And I'm like, all right, let's try chucking grenades. So I chuck a grenade across the room, and Emily can't throw for crap until you upgrade. But I didn't upgrade, but you can throw pretty decent. So I throw a grenade, because it doesn't trigger getting seen, but it alerts them, and they all run away. And I get down, I get down successfully, then I hit a switch to change the room, but I take too long to hit, then they spot me, so I reload, because I'm trying to not get seen and no kills. So I'm having some trouble in this section. And then I'm like, okay, I'll try, I have a bunch of runes, and I'm not using them for anything, so I'll just I'll unlock the doppelganger and have her run away. Like, that'll work. So your cast range for the doppelganger is a little annoying, so I cast the doppelganger down in the bottom floor. She pops down, stands there for a sec until they spot her, then she just books it up the staircase, and I'm like, sweet, they're chasing her. I turn around, I grab Sokolov, I don't know why I wasn't holding him when I cast the spell, and then I turn back, and then I'm watching, I'm like making sure they're gone. And then fucking doppelganger decides to go, you know what? I'm going to flip a U-turn, go all the way around, and come down the catwalk that the caster's at. And fucking runs right towards me. Meanwhile, three Clockwork soldiers are right behind her going, enemy detected. And I'm like, zap me. I'm like, God damn it, you fucking doppelganger, you piece of shit. So then I reloaded, didn't unlock the same ability. And I was like, ah, I'm tired of you. But I was like, seriously, you just sold me out. You're supposed to run away from me. Why did you run back to me?
It's like, master, look what a good job I did leading him away.
Yeah, like a cat with a dead animal.
Yeah.
Like, or just like a boomerang. I'm like, God, go, go. But so that, I thought, I didn't have it recorded. That super bugged me. I was like, I wish I had that recorded, because my reaction just, it was just so funny to watch. I was like, God damn it. But but anyways, so you're playing it now with powers.
It's I am.
Totally different game.
Completely different game. I like it a lot more playing it with powers, honestly. Like, playing it without it, I still enjoyed it quite a bit. It's really cool because it shows you a ton of different ways to get around shit that you wouldn't expect before. In the entire game, there's only one bone charm, or one, like, collectible, rather. But it's a bone charm that you cannot get without powers. Everything else I was able to get. So that was really cool. Like, there are hidden paths to get everything except for one bone charm, which is driving me fucking nuts. I spent like 2 hours trying to find another way around it to actually get to it.
Which chapter?
Chapter 3.
Chapter 3 was the hospital?
Yeah, so there's a black bone charm at the very, very, very top of the hospital in a nest. And that was the only one I was not able to figure out how to get without using any sort of, like, blink or far reach or something like that. Everything else I was able to get.
Oh, yeah, that would have been tough because, yeah, you can't get up there at all, yeah.
Yeah. there's no way to get up there, and I spent a while trying to figure out if there's a way to, like, slowly climb my way up, like, the awnings and things like that. Wasn't able to. But I was impressed that everything else you can get still. There's some really out of the way locations for, like, paintings, shit like that, souvenirs.
Yeah.
But they're all accessible. So that was very cool. The one thing I wanted to talk about before is I love chapter 6, and this is kind of spoilers, but chapter 6 that has the puzzle there, mm-hmm. that you can beat the level just by solving the puzzle, that you don't have, like, you can find the solution to the puzzle throughout the level depending on how you approach it. Mm-hmm. But the fact that you can beat the level pretty much accidentally by just kind of sitting down with a piece of paper and going through it, yeah. was fantastic.
Yeah, it was kind of cool when I came across it, and I was like, you know, the two NPCs are discussing it and, like, don't know what to do, and I was like, I sit there and it gives you the puzzle thing, and I didn't realize that after the fact when it was done. So when I after I did it, you know, then that's when I went in, and I then it's like it gave me the you beat the level scene, and I was like, what? And so when I zoned back out, it's like all the leftover charms didn't get, because I only went to the Howler area, and then I didn't go to the Overseers because I was collecting a bunch of stuff in the one area. And so I was like, damn it, so I missed all the bone charm. I missed like 3 bone charms and 1 rune that was left over. And I was like, fuck, so I had to reload it. But I had it saved right before I had gone in anyways. So I had the solution was already solved. But I like that it's also a trophy that you get if you solve it without doing it the traditional way. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. I like that it's also a randomized puzzle. That's kind of cool. The issue with it being randomized is that the positioning is always the same. I found out because I started looking up. I was really, really curious. Like, I wanted to see see if there's any let's plays or anything, because I wanted to see what they did, how quickly people saw. Because it's like with Portal, if I saw a puzzle and I watched someone play Portal, and I'm like, wow, it took them way long to solve that. But like, damn, it took me. They solved that quicker than I did. So I was curious to see how people dealt with the word problem. But yeah, it randomizes the character location, the names, and the objects, as well. The colors stay the same, but the names and objects change places. But it's always, the map is always the same, because there's someone online that I saw who, I guess they figured out that no matter what the combination, this person in this specific part of the pair in the sentence always goes with this object. So they linked it and they figured it out with 100% that even though it's randomized, it always follows that map, which is a little sad. I was kind of hoping it would be randomized entirely to where you could never look up something. You could just because I always like that stuff when there's a problem that that's randomized, so nobody can cheat. That's what I loved about The Witness, the challenge room at the end, because everything in that is randomized, and so you can't watch a walkthrough. Like, the only thing that people can give you a hint on is the color board, the 2 waves of color boards right before the triangle puzzle in the maze, is because in the first one there's a certain pattern. If you see it, you know it's impossible, so you can just look and say, okay, those 2 are impossible, it has to be this one. So that's what I loved about finishing the challenge room, was that it's always randomized, you can't cheat. And that's why I love that platinum. So I was hoping that this trophy would be, but it's only bronze. If it was a gold trophy, I could see it being something you couldn't cheat at. But it was really cool. It's one of those position puzzles where it's like, there's 5 women at a party. They all have, it names every one of them. It goes, you know, so-and-so wore a green hat and she sat on the far left next to someone who was wearing this color. So-and-so had this drink. So they describe some of the colors, a little bit of the positioning, and then drinks they have, and then items they have. And then at the end, you have to match up the person to their items based off this. So it's kind of like this whole positioning puzzle, word problem. It was really fun. But I have the piece of paper next to me that I wrote, started writing down, because I was like, damn it, I need paper. I had one of the daycare sheets filled out for my kid, and I was like, I just started writing on the back of it. I was like, okay, LWDMCC, writing all names. Okay, they're a green hat. This is, okay, white jacket, left of them. Okay, this person's to the left of this, but to the blue person's on the right, so they could be here or here. And then, okay, this, and they're drinking this, and they have wine, and they have booze, they have whiskey. But it's just like, it was pretty fun. But yeah, I was super annoyed, though, that it ended the level when you went through. I was like, damn it. I was hoping it'd be tied together.
I thought it was hilarious that it ended the level, because the entire point of the level is to go through and get the code to it, and I didn't realize that because I, you know, printed the riddle out and then got wrapped up in it and just decided, you know, I'll just sit down and solve it, see what happens, maybe it'll give me something.
Right.
And then it ends the level, and I was just kind of like, wow, that's amusing.
To me, it's fine. It's fine as a shortcut, but because it totally removes everything you can collect, that's what I didn't like. It's like,
but you don't have to go through. I mean, it gives you the option. It says, do you want to go through or do you want to stay?
Right, but they give you that option when you go to the Clockwork Mansion. They have 3 sections in that where it's like, do you want to go to upper part of the city? Do you want to go to the Clockwork Mansion? And it doesn't remove the items from the previous areas. So they set this precedent that I could travel between sections and not lose my progress. And this wasn't a return to the skiff. You know, this was, do you want to proceed? And it's like, oh, sure, why not? Because I can just come back. And yeah, the game lets you go back just fine and loads it, but it just removes all the collectibles. And I was like, why would you do that? You didn't do that in this chapter. Why would you do it here? And so it that really annoyed me. then, like I said, I just reloaded and went back, and I'm like, well, fuck it. I'm just going to go find all the rest of my collectibles, and then I'll just go back through. But, yeah, that's where I am, essentially. I'm just collecting stuff in Chapter 6, and then I'll go to Chapter 7. I thought there was something they said, like, if you... For some reason, I thought that even if you saved people, and I might be thinking of a different game, even if you made, like, the passive choice, not passive, but the non-lethal choice, there could be ramifications for it, like bad ramifications. I could be thinking of something else entirely. I just feel like there was a game that's like, oh, you could spare someone, but if you don't kill them, it's possible that they could come back here and do something later, but I don't remember what game that was, and I don't think that
really happens in Dishonored. I mean, I made the first run with like the non-lethal choices, and my ending was still like super generic of basically you get to the end and it's like, this person's alive. And I'm like, well, yeah, I didn't kill them. Of course they're alive.
Yeah. And if there's a Dishonored 3, they're going to choose they're going to pick one as canon, just like the good ending was canon in,
right.
Yes, but yeah, it must've been some other game that did that.
But, yeah. Dishonored kind of, I thought it was, Human Revolution that did it.
No, the Human Revolution had a thing where there's like a guy, it was never, but I'm talking about like you make a good choice, but that good choice causes consequences, like negative consequences. But there was no real negative stuff in Human Revolution.
I don't know. Witcher, maybe?
No, it was a game that actually had like, it was like a moral choice. Like there was impact on it, but it was something reason. Hey, I just don't remember.
Witcher had moral choices. Remember the whole Baron shit? It was depressing as hell.
I'm talking like gameplay mechanics, not like like it actually impacted the game. I just don't remember what it was. I just know it was recent. But anyways, none of that matters because it's not Dishonored. But yeah, so that's where I'm at. Hopefully I'll get it soon. The problem with that game is because I'm going through so carefully that it's like once something goes wrong, it's like, oh, well, now I got to reload because I got spotted. Yeah, that game's a lot of fun. I really like some of the new abilities they have. I have an issue with the tracking for her teleport ability. I feel like it's not always it's not always accurate. Like I liked, it's because it has that arch. I feel like it makes it look like it's just totally incorrect. I'm like, you should go here, like the places it tries to auto default go, and I'm like, when I'm aiming, I'm like, no, go here. And I feel like in Dishonored 1, couldn't you upgrade his teleport range to make it even further?
Yeah. You can do that with Corvo's still, but you can't do that with Emily's. Yeah, Emily's is a set distance.
I hate that. I'm like, because I wanted to go further. I was waiting. He's like, let me upgrade it. And it's like...
But they're different powers. Hers is a grab that pulls you to where you're supposed to be going. His is teleport.
Right,
so
but they
you upgrade
function.
Her grab.
Yeah, but her grab upgrade... Her grabs upgrades to different stuff, but they still give... I use them the same way. I don't grab objects. I don't grab people. I don't have those unlocked. It's like, just give me the option to teleport further.
Well, then you should play as Corvo if you want the teleport.
Yeah, but I want to play as Emily because I already played a game as Corvo, so it's like, oh, I'll play as Emily this time.
Then you don't get to complain.
Well, I do because I'm just like, that's something I know now. It's like, you have essentially the same function. It's just they go, no, this one gets an extended range, this one doesn't. And it just, and the way, like I said, the way it tracks on objects or like edges and stuff, I sometimes feel like it's a little off and I have to super fine tune where I'm aiming. I'm like, I don't know why you would go there, but.
It's much easier if instead of aiming it at the ground, you aim it as a, hold on a second. I got to transition through time really quick. It's much easier if instead of aiming it at the ground, you aim it as like right at a ledge so that you can.
Right. That's what I do.
You can like grab onto things instead.
Yeah. That's also guarantees that you'll grab it. So you get there. It's just sometimes the way it does it is just super obnoxious, but it's really just because of the level layout, not necessarily the power, I suppose. But, and I hate that you can't quit save on top of the watchtowers. It's super dumb.
So I've had a few random, I think you can quick save on top of watchtowers, and I think it's a random glitch because I've had issues before with my quick save just suddenly becoming disabled in spots where I know I'm able to quick save.
Well, it's not,
that was one of them.
It's not disabled. It saves. It's just, and the only clock, the only one I've done it on is, because I don't use, there's hardly any watchtowers, any levels, and I don't ever quick save on them. And it was just, I noticed on this one, like, it doesn't work. It was the one at the mansion when you go to stop The person who's like communicating with the glass, and you have to sabotage the glass, the ocular thing.
Oh yeah, the Royal Conservatory.
Yeah, Brianna. And there's a watchtower outside that mansion, and if you save on it, like, so I went up on it and I was using that as I was up on top of it, and I was up there linking NPCs below and trying to tranquilize them so I can get past them. And then I quick saved it, and at one point I did some stuff. I jumped down and they spotted me on accident. I was like, damn it. So I quick loaded, but the quick load makes it as if you were in motion off the stuff. So I don't respawn on top of the watchtower. I spawn falling in midair, and it's like, what? And then they just spawned me instantly. So I had to go back, and I thought, oh, maybe it was just a fluke. It was one time, but I tested it, and even standing on the actual platform and back on top, then on the ledge piece, and no matter where I quick saved, if I loaded, it would make me fall off of it. And it was super, I don't know if it's because it spins. So it just goes, oh, we don't include you on the inertia, or it's not facing the direction in which you quick saved. Therefore your character couldn't be possibly standing here, even though I'm in the middle of it on the top, but whatever. So it was super obnoxious, because then it's like I couldn't use it as a quick save point when I was trying to get through this section. I had to go just say fuck it and go around. And I just took out its battery and chucked it and said fuck you. but yeah, the game's a lot of fun. I look forward to getting through. Like I said, just going through all carefully just and collecting everything. I don't know why, because I hardly use bone charms, especially since like most of them are always like offensive, and I don't care for that because I don't do anything offensive. But
I didn't use bone charms. First no powers run, I used bone charms a ton, because you know they're the only little boost you get. But then second time around using Emily, I've used bone charms constantly, because once you can craft your own, you can make some ridiculously powerful bone charms, like ridiculously overpowered things.
Yeah, if you do the ability where you can stack the powers, but I haven't done that yet, so I could see if you do it. I can make like the one charm that has the chance to not consume mana when you use a power. Like I can see stacking it up like four times and being like having it clock the proc rate of it being like super high.
Yeah, the one I picked up that's just broken is all the movement speed ones. So like pick up bodies faster, carry bodies faster when you're moving. Speed isn't slowed when you have your weapons unsheathed, and like move faster in stealth.
Mm-hmm.
My character now moves faster while picking up a body, crouching down with my weapons out, than they do sprinting.
So when you when you stack it up, it goes exponentially faster? I wouldn't think
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's exponentially faster, but stacking them all up, yeah, they all add onto each other. So it's broken. It's very, very good.
Yeah. Well, it's like, hey, if they give you the ability, you just have to invest in it. But yeah, I haven't done that, because I figured, I thought about stacks and stuff, but I was like, the only time I ever crafted bone charms is just to, because I ran out of space. I'm like, oh, well, because I want to keep these ones equipped, even though it's like the benefit they're giving me is hardly ever used because I play the game stealthy. I was like, I still want to have them on. So I just like, you know, eating food restores more health. You know, you can move faster while crouching in shadow walk, and air drop assassinations give health and mana. So I just started I started making three bone charms, three part. But yeah, I look forward.
Yeah, you gotta get lucky enough to actually get the good bone charms that are beneficial. I mean, it's pretty evenly split between stealth and combat. It's just,
well, I have them all that from every chapter that I played through. Like I don't miss any. The only ones I missed, yeah, were,
but they're randomized which ones you get. So
oh, really? Oh, nice.
You could just be getting the ones that are all combat-focused as opposed to the stealth ones.
I didn't realize they're randomized. Yep. I guess the only two that wouldn't be are the ones that are on that lady in the mansion, because it says she has two of them on her. But then I was like, well...
No, I think they all are.
Oh, I guess. I didn't kill her, so I didn't get those. So those are the only two I didn't get from that chapter.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they all are. And then I think it's as soon as you start the level up is when it becomes like set in stone of what you're going to get in that level.
I guess it explains why I haven't gotten the choke people out quicker one.
Right.
Because that's the one I like the most. But yeah, the ones I got are primarily offensive. It's kind of obnoxious. But yeah, it's a good game. I like it a lot. I would have had it done by now, but the problem is I've been playing at nights. I've been hopping on to either Rainbow Six because of the DLC and playing again, or Battlefield 1. So I've been playing a lot of online stuff at night, and then I don't play much Dishonored. Hopefully I'll play some more today, but we'll see. But yeah, other than that, I guess not much else. What have you, since you finished 15, what have you been playing, Saya?
15.
Still just going back and playing it?
Do you really enjoy it that much?
I do. I love it. I'm doing all the end game stuff. I'm doing a lot of AP farming right now so that I can get some defensive and recovery skills built up so that I can go fight Adamantoys.
Do it.
Fight. I am 3 trophies, I think, away from platinum. So.
Is Adamantoys like one of the hidden bosses or something?
He's the level 99 boss that's supposed to take like at minimum an hour to beat start to finish. I love it. I can't wait to fight him. I already ran into him, and I'm so excited to punch him in his gigantic little face.
His gigantic little face.
Well, compared to the rest of his body.
Because it's cute, too. Yeah.
He's a turtle.
Do you get anything for beating him?
A trophy.
You get a... What's the drop in FF11? You get that.
Oh, I don't remember what Adamantoys drop. So the piece for the...
At least it's not at least it's not like that guy in 12 that took like 24 hours.
Oh, what was that one?
Right? No, there was it was like the final hunt. It was like a 24-hour fight or something. You just set your controller down and go AFK and set all your gambits up.
Omega? Was he Omega in 12?
Yasmin?
No. Yeah, it was something like that, I think.
I don't know. I keep wanting Zodiark, but that was a fucking summon. I think it was Iasmit.
Possibly.
Oh, my chocobo ran away.
Yeah, it was Iasmit.
Yeah, I'm gonna do that. And then there's 2 level 99 dungeons. No, there's only 1 level 99 dungeon, and it's gonna be a gigantic pain in the ass because it's a hard mode version of probably the hardest dungeon in the normal game, but I want to do it because it's awesome.
Do it.
So I need to work on all of the hard mode dungeons, and then I think the hard mode dungeons are the ones that give the ultimate, some of the ultimate weapons. I already have a couple of them, but let's see.
So have you gotten used to the combat since you started playing, or does the combat still kind of frustrate you? Because I remember I loved the combat. I already bought 15. I just haven't started it yet. And I loved the combat in the first demo. And the second demo, it was kind of like, I felt the combat took a step backwards.
It in the Platinum demo, it felt very Kingdom Heartsy. But in the actual game, it doesn't feel like that. It's the same kind of premise, but it feels a lot different than what it felt like in Platinum demo, but it's still different than what it was in Episode de Sky. But you do get used to it, and my biggest thing is I just get in this mindset of like, I'm gonna sit down and play a Final Fantasy game, and I'm like ready to you know, menu the fuck out of my life and have time to plan and strategize and all this other stuff, and sometimes it's just so chaotic you don't really get that.
But there's an ability that lets you pause time to debate about your next action, isn't there?
Yeah, there's 2 different modes you can choose for the battle, active or wait. And then wait mode is if you stop moving and stop commands and everything and you just stand still, it pauses the time. But there's a timer on the wait mode. Mm-hmm. So you can't just like leave it there forever because the time will eventually tick down. But there's an ability you can get that stops the timer. It's just costs a lot of AP. But that's basically what I use, is the wait mode, because when things get way too chaotic and people are just dying left and right and I don't know what's killing me and I don't know what's attacking me, you just stop moving and it'll let you kind of look around the arena and realize what has snuck up on you and is eating your party. It's like when I accidentally spawned Midgard Somer and he just bashed Ignis into the ground, and I went, oh no.
I watched Critical fight him. Because he kept getting revived, and he started making the Ruby jokes every time.
Yeah.
That's funny. And then he got, like, shit XP, and I'm like, yep, that's what I expected.
Yep. Know?
But,
Because the first time you see Midgard somewhere, you're like, the area that you go to where you can run into him, you're like level 15 to 20, maybe a little bit higher, and he's level 54. So it's a little startling and a little sad when he just starts eating your party. But I'm going to go back and fight him because I'm level 70 now. I can whoop his ass.
Do it.
Zaya, what are we going to do with you?
Interesting. So I guess they're doing the... I was looking at something from Uncharted. They're doing the thing that... was it CD Projekt Red did? Where, you know, they had the season pass for the two expansions, and the one expansion, they ended up being, like, way bigger than they anticipated, so they charged a little bit more if you didn't get the season pass. Mm-hmm. So I guess with Uncharted Lost Legacy, if you didn't get the season pass... or whatever the bundle is called, the price on it is going to stay that way until the 13th, and then after that, the price, I guess, is going to go up a bit. Because they're making The Lost Legacy much bigger than they anticipated.
Yeah.
Which I don't think I bought the season pass, but I'll just buy the game at whatever price they say. I mean, if it's $20, hey, $20, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'll support you, Naughty Dog. But that's interesting. But, yeah, I know that DLC comes out next week, too, the Survivor DLC. It brings in the Survivor mode, which looks like it's a ton of fun. Little extra stuff added onto a type of Horde mode, but it includes, like, the bosses and stuff, which are the Ghost Pirates. And then they also brought back, they're going to bring back the Classic mode, which I was wondering, I was like, what the hell is Classic mode? And then it's just the Uncharted 2 and 3 modes where there's just no powers. So there's no special abilities and stuff like that. And I think the perks might be toned down, maybe, back to what they originally were. So that's kind of cool. And then bringing back some, that one map, the village map from Uncharted 2, which is awesome, because that's such a great map. But yeah. So we need a secret word.
Moogle.
Moogle? I think we've done Moogle before.
Cat gumming.
Cat gumming.
That's a little...
Gummy control.
Sounds like we're gumming the cat.
No, I know. Zaya might be. I don't know.
What?
I don't know what she does.
Last time it was PSX. Let's do... I guess we'll just do Moogle, since you already said Moogle. Moogle, secret word. There we go.
Moogles are always worth being secret words, so it doesn't matter anyways.
Man, I installed a... I bought a 2 TB SSHD from Newegg, one of the Firecudas from Seagate. I was like, all right, I'll buy this. Because I didn't want to deal with the stock one. I didn't want to take out the SSHD that's in my base PS4. So I was like, and plus that one's old, so I figured I might as well get a newer version. So I installed that, and I ended up deleting a bunch of stuff. And I figured, well, it's just stuff I kept on my hard drive. And I was like, well, I'll just delete it anyways. Because I only had about 3 hours until I was going to game that night. Because I did it on like a Wednesday night. And yeah, doing a transfer only took like 80 something minutes for about 300 something gigs. I know some people have taken way longer. I don't do it console to console. I do it over my network, so I don't know if that helps, but
yeah,
doing that was fun. What was super obnoxious was, like, so the way you do system transfers, if you've never done one, is you look up Ethernet or over your network, and you go, and it, you know, start, and it looks for a console, and it goes, okay, we found one on the other side, and then it tells you to press the power button on the console for 1 second until it beeps. And even though I had just done this when I got the Pro, for some reason I totally forgot some of the steps. So I did the same search for a console on both systems. So they both were starting to do the transfer data from the other one. And then I hit the power button on both of them, and they both got shut down to give data to the other console, so it just totally voided each other out, so it caused them to go like, the fuck do I do? And then, so then I had to like hold down the power button to get them to shut off, and it was super funny. And then when you read it, like, it tells you, like, turn the hold the power button on the other PS4. And then, not the one that you're currently using. And then it puts that one into a sleep mode to transfer data back to this, to the one you want to be transferred to. So it was just funny because I made the mistake. I was like, what the hell's happening? Why are they both acting all weird? None of them are loading. It's like we're trying, there's the data is just bumping into each other like, hey, I'm trying to overwrite your stuff.
They're like, excuse me, I'm going to transfer the stuff over here. But like, I'm transferring stuff over there. Well, we can't do it at the same time.
Yeah. But yeah, having a SSD is, I don't necessarily care for whatever benefits like a load time into a game or levels are, because they've shown that they're not necessarily a huge benefit. But for me, it's the online stuff. Like, loading into a new round of Battlefield 1 is so much faster than using a regular hard drive, which is an extreme advantage in that game, because then you get to choose the vehicles before anybody else does. Because it's like, you know, I want to run the tank, but I get in, and I got in, and I'm the, you know, 30th person to get in on my team, and someone else has already taken the tank or taken the horse or the plane. So it's like, if you're the first two people, you're guaranteed to get a vehicle. And same with like Rainbow Six Siege. It's like when it loads up, I get that edge on choosing what operator I want to be. Like if I, you know, want to be a certain one and some other guy wants to be him, I load in just slightly faster than he does. So I can pick him quicker. And it also loads quicker when it gets, when the countdown timer's done to load everybody in. People with SSDs and SSHDs load in instantly, or instantly ready. And then we have to wait for everybody with a regular hard drive to load up.
Yeah.
Which is fine, because you'd think all that, you know, loading stuff would be mainly a network thing, but I guess because like on Battlefield, it's loading an entire map off your system as well as getting network information. I guess it can just take a long time, because when I was playing on my PS4, I had no problem. It was pretty quick. You know, I was load in, I'm the first, you know, four people into the next round, and you have to wait. And then when I got my Pro, I was like, man, it is so fucking slow. And I was like, I couldn't understand it. So I'm like, I'm already in. All right, what team are we going to be on? I'm like, you're in? I'm like, I'm not even in there. I'm loading like forever. Like by the time I got in, the match almost started. It's just fucking long ass load times when you have that regular hard drive. I don't know what the fuck that's about, but.
It's kind of like on 14, when you change areas, you would assume like your load time is based on your internet connection changing the area, but it's actually based on your computer's speed, because you'll already be loaded into an area almost instantly, and right. then your computer has to like load the area.
Yeah, that was if I was playing 14 still, SSHDs and SSDs are very beneficial. When I put my my hybrid into my PS4 when I was playing 14, I was like, man, this is just that little extra niceness for the game. Especially the game, if you play it a lot, it's like it's gonna cache all that stuff, and it can help out a ton.
Yeah, I really want to get an SSD for my PC, like just specifically to load my OS and 14 on.
Yeah, the low gig ones are pretty cheap. They had some nice sales on them, but it's just like, that's the problem. It's like, yeah, it seems like a decent price for a computer application to where, you know, your OS and a game would be on there. But it's like, it's not practical in a console. So I'm like, it's like, oh, we have a sale on a, you know, 256 gig SSD. Like,
yeah,
that's great, but that's crap for my application. It's great.
You
for
can't put that in anything other than like a dual hard drive PC.
Yeah, but yeah. All right. Well, I guess that'll wrap it up. Hopefully, we'll see how the news goes. I know holiday weeks are coming up. I'm trying to see when the dates fall, because they fall on, was it Mondays or? Nope, it's on Sundays. So. Yeah, because, well, there's no, yeah, nothing this weekend, obviously, I'll be able to do that, but yeah, we'll see what happens over the next holiday weekends, if people are doing, if they're out of town, you know, yada yada, but.
I'm going to be out of town from the 22nd to the 27th, apparently.
Hey, right. Me too. Are we going to the same place?
I'm going to New Mexico.
We're not going to the same place.
Damn, why didn't you play along? Yeah, me too. Where are you going? Yeah, I'm going there. Like, just fucking bullshit away. Totally.
Like, okay, I'm here in Albuquerque. Let's meet up.
Yeah, let's
that
go.
That won't freak people out at all.
Just mess with them. All right, so I guess no podcast next weekend, which will be fine because, like I said, holiday. We're not. It'll be this weekend because it's the 17th, but the holiday weekend, the 24th, we won't have one. Mm-hmm. But all right. Well, that'll wrap it up for this episode. So thank you all for tuning in and listening. Thank you, Isley, and thank you, Zaya.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And we will see you guys next time.
Later.
Bye.